I'm not going to keep you long. I don't know how much. This is an old sermon. And the Lord brought it back to me, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And honestly, I've been trying to preach it. But, you know, you preachers know, you know the Spirit ain't says no. Yeah, not yet. You know, it's kind of a grievance, but not a grieving. But, you know, you know, the peace ain't there, so you just, all right. But I'm pretty sure I got the green light. You say, you ought to be real sure. Well, try this and you'll understand. I put like if I miss it trying. I was thinking about the song Brother David sang, That I May Go Free. God used that song yesterday, or Friday night and yesterday. A group sang it. And, of course, they sang it about 3 or 4 times. And the Spirit of God just, it was. And I believe it was in order this morning. Acts 9, look at verse 36. Folks, I'm not just drinking water so I can have something to drink, but my mouth gets dry up here. If I ever sit a Diet Pepsi up there, y'all pray for me. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had watched, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was not a Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And as it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, we're going to use this lady today to look at a picture, to try to portray a spiritual truth in what happened to her physically. May the Lord add his blessings to the word. Now, the first title I got for this message is Dorcas, a picture of a backslidden and restored Christian. And that is a great picture. And there's some other thoughts that come along with this to me. Number one, the danger of falling out. Or failure is not final. And so we see that what started out as a good thing, a bad thing, and back to a good thing. We see restoration was made. Now, we understand here that this woman, we find little about her in Scripture except for here. Now, here's some things about her. Number one, we see her town. She was from a place called Joppa. We see her talent. She was a garment maker. Folks, I'm going to say this right here, and I don't want to get bogged down too long, but I believe that every Christian, everybody that gets born again, the Lord gives them at least one spiritual gift. I make this statement all the time. He don't give everybody a gift to sing. He don't everybody give the gift ability to teach or a call to preach. But I believe he'll give every Christian a gift to use for his glory. Amen. A lot of people say, well, if I can't do this, I'm doing nothing. Well, God knows what best suits you.
That's right.
Amen. God knows what, hey, some people he gives the gift, and we say we all have the gift of prayer. We all available to pray, and we all should pray, but some folks can just pray.
That's right.
You know what I'm trying to tell you? Amen. You've been around, hey, y'all remember Hugh Dale Oxendine?
Amen.
He just about shut down the prayer room, everybody listening to him pray. Right. He prayed with confidence and authority, and man, he just said, oh, you could tell God was connecting with him. And so I don't know what your gift is, but I know one thing, God wants you to use it for Him. Amen. He wants you to use it for Him. I say this a lot. The Bible says in the book of James, every good gift comes from above.
That's right.
Comes from God. That's right. There is no variables or turning in Him. Every good gift. And folks, there's people singing secular music that God has given a gift to sing. That's right. And they're not using it for Him. Of course, there's some that can't carry a tune in a tin tub and making millions of dollars doing it. I can't figure that out. Amen. Some of them old-time country singers, they couldn't sing worth 2 cents, but they got rich doing it. And these rappers, dear gosh, help us all. Amen. But we see her talent or her gift. Let me move. But then we see her testimony. See, she used her talent, she used her gift for God's glory. And the Bible says she was full of good works and alms deeds. She was full. In other words, she made every bit of effort in the gift or the talent that God gave her. She was full of good works and alms deeds. She was a blessing to the widows. And in the text, we find out just how much of a blessing. They mourned over her life. It hurt them to see her to get sick and die. She was a blessing to them and encouraged them, and no doubt the whole assembly of the church. So we see her town, we see her talent, we see her testimony, but then we see her tragedy. The Bible just cuts to the chase and says she got sick and she died. She got sick and she died. I don't know how long she was sick, but I don't think it was long. I don't know what happened to her, but she suddenly fell ill and boom, she's gone. But then we see her touch. The Lord, through the hand of Peter, raised her up.
Amen.
Now, folks, Preacher Tommy don't have that ability.
Amen.
Preacher Paul don't have that ability.
Amen.
No preacher in this church has that ability, and no preacher on television has that ability.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to take time to turn to the book of Matthew when God called the apostles. And God gave them apostolic power. The Jews require a sign. That was a temporary thing. The tongues is a temporary sign gift for the unbelieving Jews. Never was meant for the church. And so he gave the apostles that ability, because Jews said, if we don't see something, we won't believe something. And remember, we're in transition here.
Right.
We're in transition. The more you read in Acts, the more you see less and less of this.
That's right.
The just shall live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
We see less and less of that until it's gone. Paul's epistles, till it's gone. But the Lord had give Matthew that, and God raised her up. So, I want to notice in my time, if you give me 15, 20 minutes, I want to take this step by step in a very quick way and look at where she was, the condition she got in, and the mess she got out of.
Amen.
Failure is not final.
That's right.
If you're saved and you walk afar off and get away from God, the only reason that you're not back where you ought to be with God is because you've chosen not to.
That's right.
Two things, I've said them both. If you're unsaved here today, God wants to save your soul more than you want it saved.
That's right.
So quit saying, well, you don't know. I hush about that. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. God saved him.
Amen.
See, it doesn't matter to me how wicked of a sinner you are. You're not the chief.
Amen.
So the Lord wants to save you more than you want to get saved. And if you're saved and you get away from God, the devil will shame you. And sin does bring shame, by the way. But he'll shame you to the place to make you think, I cannot get right with God. Get this sin under the blood. And go on for the glory of God. He's a liar.
That's right.
The devil is a liar. Listen to me now. He's a liar.
That's right.
The Bible said he's the father of it. In other words, he is the institution. He is the organizer. He's the author of lies. He is the embodiment of lies. So I want to tell you today, hey, well, preacher, I got a biblical testimony of my salvation. I know I got saved. I know I'm born again, washed in the blood. But some things has happened. I have allowed this sin to linger in my life, and it has brought shame to me. You know what? It will. It will. But can I say something to you? Them who are spiritual will come to you considering themselves lest they also be tempted and restore you. You understand what restore is? Means bring back to the original shine. I know zero about restoring cars. The extent of my expertise on vehicles is putting gas in them, cranking them, putting them in gear, mashing the gas. But I do like to watch. I got a couple sites I watch, especially since y'all give me that car, and I like looking at other Camaros, and I like, look, you know, y'all gave me a Chevrolet to keep me humble. I understand that. But anyway, and I wouldn't take $10 million for it. Amen. They won't make sure I'm got something to drive until I die. Amen. But I watch. And sometimes those guys will put before, middle, and after. And I'm thinking, wow. But you know, not only I think wow about what the car looks like. Matter of fact, most time they look better. They take them ugly factory wheels off of them, put some nice mags on them, and they, man, they sharpen that thing up, put deals on it, man, that fires me up. You crank them things up, you hit it one time, back it out of that driveway, and go, woo, glory. And it's, man, the look of what it was and what it is, but... What gets me is, and I say, Lord, it's my own fault. I never tried to do anything like that. But somebody with the mind to be able to do that.
Right.
And there's guys making lots of money. You ever watched a Barrett Jackson auction? You can't go in there with $300 in your checkbook. I don't even think they let you in there with that. I mean, I'm sitting there bidding on something, ain't got $3. I'm saying, hey, what's your credit line? Hey, man. But the mind of people, God gifts them. They can see it. And you know what? This message is taking a different turn. You know what? You're here today and you've walked afar off. You have failed God. And you're backslidden on God. And in your mind, you have made shipwreck of your whole life. Now, mind you, there may be some things that they may not get where you want. But I want one thing. God sees what you can be.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how many wrecks you've been in. It don't matter how many times you flipped your life over and over. God, see, you know what? I've looked at people that's done that, and I'm saying, that's it. They ain't no hope for them. And then God. Then the Lord. But I'm glad there's some folks that say, you know, God, I see it too.
Amen.
Lord, that looks awful. That's a mess. That's a tragedy. And then they've done it over and over and over. Lord, but I still see what you can do with them.
Amen.
I still see how you can change their life. You can still put them back together and then see God begin to work. I see them. Hey, they come in. Been out of the house of God for all the time, and been in their lives here and there and everywhere. And you see them come through the door. A shame. Scared to death of the reaction of the people. Here's what we don't do here. At nobody. I see that. We don't do that here. Bible Baptist Church don't act like that. Are y'all listening to me? We don't behave that way.
That's right.
Considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted.
Amen.
We don't act like that. We don't agree with the decisions they made. We don't like how their lives went in spiral. We don't like none of that, but we love them.
Amen.
And we know God is the master restorer. And they'll come through here, and man, they'll be, their heads will be bowed low. And then we'll get excited because we've been praying. We've been believing God. We've been trusting God to get them back right with God. I ain't talking about getting saved again. I'm talking about getting right with God.
Amen.
Sonship is evident in their life. God's chastening them.
Amen.
Amen. And then they come sit on the pew. And the choir sings. Special singing. You see tears flowing down their face. Dripping. I've seen them dripping the floor. Dripping off their face. During the preaching, they're whiter than that piece of paper. And you're trying your best to preach truth, give them hope, but not make them a spectacle. And during that altar call, here they come. They fall on their face, knowing they need to get right with God, but also worried that what's the people going to do? How's the people going to react to that? The next thing you know, if it's a man, there's about 15 hands come on their shoulder and they start praying. If it's a woman, they see 15 arms going around them praying, telling them they love them, telling them they appreciate them, and praying and praying. Then you see God work in their heart, and they might have to get up and say, "Hey, preacher, I got to say something. I want to apologize to the Lord. I want to apologize to my church. I've done some things openly, and I need to deal with it openly. I'm sorry to the Lord. I'm sorry to the church that I marred the testimony of this place because I'm a part of it." And nobody's doing this. Nobody's went... Tears and smiles, and we love you.
Amen.
We love you. We love you. And then that Sunday night, they come back. Evidence of salvation and evidence of getting things right with God, if you're saved, is you come back.
Amen.
All of a sudden, they're faithful to church again. And then they remain faithful for a while, and you begin to see that joy, and you begin to see that fervency. And I've had them come to me, "Preacher, can I get back in the choir?" "Yeah, been waiting on that." Then next thing you know, they're praying with folks that got in a mess like them. they're hugging their neck. And they're weeping with them. Folks, that's what we're in this thing for. Folks, I've said this before. Preacher, what would you be if you weren't an independent Baptist? A shame. That's what I'd be. But we are about the only crowd that shoots their wounded. Wait a minute, there's still life in them. I know they made a mess, but nah, we done with them. Kick them down. That don't happen here. How many times have you failed the Lord? And every time you've approached Him sincerely, not because you got caught, because you know the Spirit of God was grieved in you and you know your sin was wrong and you come to God, and it may be the same thing 100 times when He say, I'm done with you. The Bible said if we confess our, and I'm not okay in sin. Sin will leave you in a mess, folks. Sin, hey, there'll be scars on you you'll never get rid of. Do right. Do right. But every time you approach Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful every time. And folks, if we have an attitude of, well, I got caught and I need to make a good show, folks, you're tempting the Lord with that. And you in for it. I'm not talking about that. And I've seen that. And I've seen God deal with that. Are you with me? I've seen people get caught up in sin. I've seen people do wrong. And in order, I've had people make 15 professions of faith. They get caught up in sin. And their way of getting out of that and nobody saying nothing is, well, I got saved. And God saves you once for all. But you come brokenhearted, sincere. There'll never be a time you'll ever approach God and He'll kick you down. He'll beat you down. He'll always forgive you. And folks, that is what ought to stir us to purpose. I'm not going back there again. I am not. Lord, you are so. Hey, the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and we're hey, God, you've been so merciful to me.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. I'm not living like that. I'm not living like a person I don't belong. I'm a child of God. Amen. The blood of Jesus cleanseth me from sin, and I'm saved. And I don't want to live with no joy. I don't want to live with the chastening rod of God on me. I don't want to live shaming the name of Christ in my church and my pastor. I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't be knowing God is that merciful to you. If anything else, it'll drive you to holiness. It'll drive you to righteousness. If you're using the grace of God as a license to sin, God said, God forbid you do that. But I'm telling you, if your sin has broken you and the Spirit of God has grieved you and you are sorry that you've gotten this mess, if you come to Him humbly, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Folks, most of us, I agree with what one of the preachers said in the meeting. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Brother Massengill or Brother Shiflett. I can't remember. And we do rejoice when someone has lived wicked, wicked, vile, ungodly, unsaved, and God saves them, and you see that change. That is something to rejoice about. But somebody gets up and testifies and talks about God saved them at an early age and they've lived for God by the grace of God their whole life and ain't got into sin. We just kind of, if I'm not mistaken, one of the preachers said they'd sit over and cut our fingernails.
That's right.
Hey, young people, You don't have to have them scars. You don't have to have scars. You don't have to do that. I don't care what school says, what people say, that you've never lived. Hey, I'm just going to give you this. I'm just going to give you this. The Spirit of God's brought it to my heart. Can I do that? It was a preacher that went to a Christian school and preached chapel. This true story. And there was a girl, 15, 16 year old, there was a girl that sitting there in the front. There was three or four girls sitting there behind her, and they were kind of making fun of her. And said that after the service, they called them down a hall corridor or stair corridor, and they were taunting her again. And what they were taunting her about was that she was still a virgin. And they were big and bad because they wasn't. And that preacher said it amazed him. He said, I thought that girl was going to break down. I thought she was going to... He said, but she looked at him in the eye and said, let me tell y'all something. I can be like y'all any day I choose. But not one of y'all can be like me anymore. Don't you let this world make you think you're awful and there's something wrong with you. Hey, there's something wrong with them. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with them. Amen. Now, we love their soul. We don't see them get right with God. But don't let the world taunt you or bully you into being a heathen or behaving in a way that you know is not right.
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and say this while it's passing my mind. Young girls, young boys, if you are that way now, you can get right with God. You don't have to be like that anymore. There's hope. We're not kicking anybody. We want to see God touch your life. Change your life. You with me? We want to see God do something for you. As a pastor of over 28 years, I've dealt with all kinds and all kinds of situations and all kinds of sins and all kinds of problems. And I don't ever want to leave anybody without any hope. I don't ever want to leave anybody without any hope. I never applaud sin, not in my life or yours, by the way. But don't think you're hopeless. This I'm trying to get this thing not turned into a youth meeting, but young people, you better go ahead and make some standards now. If you go ahead and get in the back seat of that car without having a standard, I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. Go ahead. You know what? Parents could put those standards in, but you know, in your mind, but God can put them in your heart. Go ahead. Go ahead and set that up in your heart. David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that. Their parents weren't there standing over them. Right. They got hauled off to captivity. Right. They purposed they wasn't going to defile themselves. Right. Now, in the beginning, it was tough. But we'll see how God blessed them. Right. All of us. It's not easy. It's not easy on the flesh. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. I want to be praised. We all want to be, you know, the prettiest, or the most handsome, or the most talented, the most gifted. Folks, that ain't going to be that way. Boys, you can lift the most weight today, and you can have all the trophies, but I'm telling you, tomorrow somebody's going to beat you. I was watching this thing a few years back where they was interviewing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I can't remember the player that was about to break a record. And they said, what do you think about that? His response was this: I am thankful that's one less record I have to worry about. Hey, you might have got voted the most beautiful girl in school. You walk in there next year, bam, there's another one. Don't base your life on that kind of stuff. You be what God wants you to be. Amen. Who God wants you to be. Live like God wants you to live.
That's right.
God take care of you. I'm going to stop. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you again for your patience. The altar's open if you need to come.